Are you ready, all you fans out there in out there land? I say it's time again. Have mercy, let the congregation say, hey, man. It's time for the biggest, baddest party in the world. So get on up, turn it up a notch, and get ready to boogie, baby. Ow!
From Tomahawk to Rhinelander, from Anago to Eagle River, and everywhere in between, it's time for the Sports Q on WJJQ. Now, here is your host, Alex Cook.
Welcome to the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Wonderful to have you along on this Wednesday, second Wednesday in November, just 2 weeks away from my favorite holiday, which happens to be Thanksgiving. And we've got a plateful, if you will, on tap for you tonight. We've got Alex Stroh from ESPN Milwaukee. He's going to join the show. He's going to talk about the Bucks' slow start to the season, even though they were able to get the win last night. Also, we'll sit down with new Hatchet boys basketball coach Eric Neave. He'll stop by, and he's going to talk about the upcoming season and what his plans are to rebuild the program. We'll also have a look at Wisconsin taking on Oregon. We've got Badgers taking on Arizona in basketball. And, of course, we've got weekly predictions. That's a plateful for you, if you will. But first, we're going to hit the gridiron, and I think it's time to preview the Packers and the Bears. What do you say?
Third down and four at the 20. Dobbs now deployed a motion to the right side. Snap to Love. Under pressure, Love looks. He's it down the right side, making the adjustment. Oh. Catching it is Dobbs. Tiptoes into the end zone. A sensational touchdown. A desperation throw. Jordan Love to his good buddy, Romeo Dobbs, and the Packers. 20-yard touchdown pass. Reestablish control of this game. It's 30-13.
Hard to believe that was almost a month ago already, I think. So, the Packers were off this week, and it was a bye that was absolutely needed because they were banged up, they were not healthy, and they needed to get themselves right to get themselves ready for the second half of the season. Because, not just for the Packers, but for the Bears also, the second half of the season is an absolute gauntlet, if you will. Who's going to be leveling up, if you will? And who's going to be leveling down? So, there is nothing better than the Packers-Bears rivalry, the black and blue division, the history behind these two teams going against each other. Two of the oldest teams in the NFL, over 200 meetings. The Bears had it for so long, and this recent stretch by the Packers with Favre and Rodgers and now Jordan Love has led them to take an insurmountable lead in the series. So, what is going to make this game even better is that it's an important game on both sides. For Green Bay, they're 6-3. They're still third place in the NFC North, but you've got the Vikings and the Lions ahead of them. They're going to have another chance at both of those teams on the road later on this year. That's the first thing. The Bears, they're in free fall mode. This is a must-win game for them. They just fired their offensive coordinator in Shane Waldron. They are going to have to find a way to get their offense back on track. Their offense has not scored a touchdown, by the way, since they lost on the Hail Mary to Washington 3 weeks ago. They have scored a total of 15 points in their last two games. 15. Both teams are coming off rough losses. The Packers lost to Detroit, which Detroit is the better team, so I'm not surprised that Green Bay lost. I am surprised about the fact that they had a lot of self-inflicted mistakes, because you can't have self-inflicted mistakes against a good team like the Lions. The Bears, meanwhile, they lost to the Patriots, who are starting Drake May, a quarterback. Again, two rookies going against each other, and Drake May looked a lot more competent than Caleb Williams did on Sunday. Both teams have young star quarterbacks. We talk about Caleb Williams. Green Bay obviously has Jordan Love, which, again, this is about the time where we started to see Jordan Love take care of the ball and go on this unbelievable stretch where he had 18 touchdowns and one pick in the second half of last season. We need to see him do more of that if Green Bay is going to compete for a playoffs. If Green Bay is in the playoffs, which I think they'll make it, they have the sixth best odds to make the playoffs in the NFC right now. They also need to do that if they are going to go far, if they're going to make a big jump, if they're going to go back to the divisional round and go up against a team like Detroit or like San Francisco. Heck, maybe even Philadelphia, the way that they're playing, or Washington. They are going to have to play their best football. Period. End of story. And both teams, to be honest with you, have good defenses. Again, the Bears' offense has struggled, but their defense is still top-notch. Again, they held probably the rookie of the year frontrunner, Jaden Daniels, to without a touchdown all the way up until the final game, all the way up until the final play of the game. Arizona, they struggled, but the Arizona Cardinals are the biggest surprise currently in the NFC because no one really expected them to do much because with San Francisco banged up, the Rams getting banged up, and Seattle just being incredibly mediocre, the Cardinals are now first place in the NFC West, which that could be a quality win for Green Bay as well. Keep that in mind. And the Packers have a good defense because they are capable of turning the ball over and making big plays. Now, what Green Bay needs to do, they need to start turning those turnovers into touchdowns. They've been turning them into field goals. You can't do that when you go up against great teams. You can get away with that probably against a lesser opponent. Maybe not Chicago, but maybe against a team like New Orleans, who they play right before Christmas. Let's take a look at the final schedules, by the way, for both of these teams as well that I previously mentioned. Packers, after Chicago, they've got San Francisco at home. Winnable game, but they're going to have to play well. They've got Miami, who their offense seems to be getting back on track with Tua returning to the lineup. Then they go to Detroit. Very tough game. That's a big game. That could very well determine the division. They go to Seattle. Again, Seattle, tough place to play. Weather can be unpredictable, especially there in December like it is up here in Green Bay. New Orleans at home. That, to me, is going to be a win. They go to Minnesota. The Packers were able to shellack the Vikings towards the end of the season as well, which led them en route to another postseason berth. And then they've got Chicago at home to end it. That's a tough stretch. If Green Bay ends up going 5-3, at least, that to me is a successful stretch of games. The best case scenario for them would be to probably go 7-1. The problem is that one loss would probably be at Detroit if I had to bet my money on it. Chicago's second half of the schedule, it is brutal. Brutal. I don't know who's going to be coming in to save the day.
Here I come to save the day.
That means that Mighty Mouse is on the way.
But they better find a savior soon because after Green Bay, they've got Minnesota at home, at Detroit, at San Francisco, at Minnesota. That's three straight road games for Chicago. Then they've got Detroit at home, Seattle at home, and then at Green Bay. I legitimately see only one, possibly two wins left on their schedule for the rest of the year because the easiest part of their schedule was supposed to be the stretch when they were going to Washington, Arizona, and New England, and their offense couldn't do anything. Now, when it comes to Green Bay, this is what needs to happen. Green Bay is 6-3. They have not played their best football to me yet this year. Now, some of that has been due to injuries, some of that has been due to turnovers, and some of it has been due to penalties. This is what I need to know. This is what I would like to see. Offensively, Jordan Love has played well this season. He's got to play better. He has got to cut back on the turnovers. If he does not cut back on the turnovers, Green Bay is not going to make a deep run into the postseason. The best thing they can hope for is a divisional round spot. That's just me. The receivers, they have to play better. I checked this stat, by the way, and I was talking with it last week with Wayne Mauser on 102.3 The Bug. And the Packers, as of right now, are fifth in the NFL in drops. That can't happen. Now, I know that this is a young receiving core, but we've seen those young receivers make tough catches before. And my theory is, when it comes to these kinds of receivers, you touch it, you catch it. Period. Plain and simple. If you don't touch it and you can't catch it, that's fine. Honestly, Jordan Love should only have about five interceptions this season. I think at least half of them went off of receivers' hands, or receivers running wrong routes, or receivers running, or receivers falling down. So the receivers have got to help Jordan Love. Jordan Love has got to play better, but the receivers have to step up and help him as well. The defense has to continue forcing turnovers. They didn't force any against Detroit, and they needed to in order for them. And to be honest with you, that might not even be enough because Detroit was able to turn the ball over five times with Jared Goff, a quarterback. He was picked off 5 times, and Detroit still found a way to win the game over Houston. Now, Houston may not be as good as people initially thought, but they've been banged up as well. So, something to keep in mind. And now, with the schedule going to November, with it going to December next month, we are starting to get into colder weather. This is the time where you give Josh Jacobs the ball on a consistent basis. You brought him in to be a workhorse. You brought him in to be that guy that can run the clock down, that can be a bulldozer for a defense. And he's going to have to be even more of it out with A.J. Dillon out. Marshawn Lloyd, he's, by the way, activated off IR and did practice today. So my best guess is that he's going to try and suit up also this weekend, which is going to be tough because you got also Emmanuel Wilson, who's been playing well as a number two back in spurts. This weather, the below freezing weather, is the reason why you gave Josh Jacobs big money. You give him the ball 30 times, you have him rush for over 100 yards, and you wear that defensive line down because that is how you're going to be able to win football games in Green Bay. The toughest part of the schedule is here. Green Bay has to start playing their best football right now. You're tuned into the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ Tomahawk 543. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Alex Stroh from ESPN Milwaukee is going to join the show, and we are going to talk about the Bucks' struggles. That's coming up next here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ.
Where Northern Wisconsin comes for in-depth Wisconsin sports talk. From youth sports to the pros, you are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Attention deer hunters. The Good Steward Express features a large selection of hunting products for the deer season. Choose from a variety of tree stands, plus deer scents, feeds, hunting clothing, lacrosse boots, and your hunting license. The Good Steward Express on North 4th Street, Tomahawk, also has a nice selection of beer and liquor as you relax after the hunt. Brian and the Vigoots crew wish the best of success to all the deer hunters.
The way we use our homes is changing. And as your local Carrier experts, we're here to help you improve your indoor comfort. From optimizing the performance of your heating and cooling system to ensuring your indoor air is cleaner and healthier, we're committed to delivering premium comfort and helping you breathe a little easier. Serving most of northern Wisconsin since 1958, contact Hilke's LP Gas for your cooling comfort. Carrier, turn to the experts.
Billy Bob's Sports Bar in Grantland invites you to dine in or carry out all your favorite menu selections, including soup, salad, sandwiches, wraps, and Chicago-style pizza. Happy hours Monday through Thursday from 2 until 5. On Fridays, Billy Bob serves their fantastic fish fry all day, and Saturday it's prime rib with servings starting at 5 and while supplies last. Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill, County Highway L, north of Tomahawk, ready to serve you daily at 11 o'clock. It's Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Stroh on the line with us from ESPN Milwaukee as we're going to talk some Bucks here with him. Stroh, good evening. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm doing better than the Bucks record. I can tell you that much.
Let's dive into what the issue is. What do you say?
Yeah, let's do it. I mean, there's a few of them to dive into. So I'll let you lead the way, brother.
All right, let's do it.
Win. 5.2 left. No timeouts left for the Bucks. Here comes Dame. 3 seconds. Dame pulls for the win. And well in Milwaukee. Win. 5.2 left. No
time. So nice. I wanted to try and play that call twice, but I know that that's probably in poor taste. Okay, so Alex, let's dive into this here. The Bucks are 3-8 this year. Okay, they were able to get a win last night in NBA Cup group play against Toronto. Toronto is the worst defensive team in the league. I want to ask you though, why do you think the Bucks are struggling so much?
How much time do you have? I guess would be my response. See, look, I was on Buck Suteran on her sister station, 620 WTMJ, yesterday, and I chalked it up to three main issues. Number one is obviously age, right? This is a really old team. Number two is not a terrific third option offensively in terms of scoring, right? And you hope when Chris Middleton eventually gets injected back to this lineup, he can provide some spark for this offense, right? Damian Lillard and Giannis are both terrific in their own right and have had some really strong games here through 11 in the early parts of the season. But you just lack consistency from a third option who can give you somewhere between 16 and 20 a night, right? Bobby
yes.
Portis hasn't been that guy this year. Brooke Lopez hasn't been that guy consistently this year. We know Andre Jackson Jr., who was inserted to the starting lineup last week against the Jazz and has kind of remained in that role in place of Gary Trent Jr., isn't the biggest threat offensively. He's a really good defender and a young guy, so that helps the age part, but he just doesn't do a lot for you offensively. So that would be the second thing I'd chalk it up to, and then depth is that final part. And you've had some nice contributions, as I mentioned, from Jackson. A.J. Green off the bench has had a nice last week.
Yes.
And Ryan Rollins, actually, before he left that game with an injury last night, giving a little bit of a spark off the bench. But you lack that depth. So all three of those issues typically don't equal a championship team, and the record certainly indicates that here at 3-8.
Yeah, again, the reason why when we were talking at the beginning of the season, Strofe, we thought that, hey, this Bucks team, with a healthy Damian Lillard, a healthy Giannis Antetokounmpo, a healthy Chris Middleton, they could make a push for an NBA title again, very similar to how it was in 2021. But I'm going to chalk it up to another issue as well, and that is the free agent signings that the Bucks have had outside of Taurean Prince, because we know what his role is, and he has played his role very, very well. Gary Trent Jr. and DeLon Wright have not been able to step up so far.
No, yeah, I'm totally with you, right? Trent Jr. obviously benched last week, effectively, right, for Andre Jackson Jr. To provide a little bit of a punch, you know, in that opening lineup, and it seems to have worked in that game against the Jazz, and worked a little bit last night. I still hold out hope for both of those guys. I think DeLon Wright can be a pest offensively and do some nice things for you. I mean, this is a team that wants to be a 3-and-D team. I don't know that they really have that identity locked down here through 11 games. But, yeah, I mean, when it comes to all of the free agent signings, you know, this Bucks team didn't have a lot of money to play with.
No, so they didn't.
The names they brought in seemed like they could be solid additions. And I'm with you. I think Taurean Prince, you know, he's had a few off nights, but all in all, he's been a positive addition to this team, both offensively and defensively. So, I can't disagree with anything you just said on that, but I still hold out hope, you know, that this team can figure it out. I know we can only do the, hey, it's still early thing for so long, but only two teams in the Eastern Conference are above 500 of the 15 of them.
Which is mind-boggling.
Right, it's not a good East here in the early parts of the season, and everything will eventually revert back to the mean. But when you look at that, that's one positive note you can take at 3-8. The other part of it is, too, Alex, is the next 10 games, and we can really say 11 if you want to count last night against Toronto, but it starts again tonight if I serve. It's a lighter schedule.
Yeah, it is.
You play Boston December, I think it's 6th, whatever that Friday is, and that's when things, you know, that's your next super tough matchup against a team who's over 500. You have Miami in there, of course, but you've got Detroit a few times, who's young and inexperienced. I think if this team can win, you know, in the next 10 before they see Boston, if they go 7-3, you're then 10-11 going into that Boston game on December 6th, and all of a sudden you're right back in the thick of things. So I'm not ready to press the panic button yet, but my panic meter is certainly still rising at 3-8.
Again, talking here with Alex Strofe from ESPN Milwaukee here on the Sports Q on WJJQ. Strofe, a lot of criticism has also gone to Doc Rivers, the head coach, obviously, because he was brought in place of Adrian Griffin. Griffin was fired last year when the team went 30-13. They were second in the Eastern Conference, nip and tuck with Boston, and since Doc Rivers came in, it seemed like that they just fell off. Do you think that there's anything that he could do differently?
Look, I'm not an NBA coach, and I'm not going to pretend to be one. But, I think there's just – it goes back to the issues, right? Like, you need to figure out what your identity is on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, you do.
We think this is a 3-and-D team. The three-point shooting hasn't been super effective. And, again, I hold out hope that when Chris Middleton returns – he'll be a little bit better of an option. But when you look at it, right, like who are your best three-point threats offensively? Damian Lillard's obviously the top one. But after that, is it A.J. Green? Is it Gary Trent Jr.? Is it Brooke Lopez, right? I don't think you're feeling terrific about any of those names as your second or third best three-point option for this Bucks offense. Defensively, I still think this is a team that, you know, if you continue to see the young energy insert themselves into this lineup, like you look at an A.J. Green, you look at an Andre Jackson Jr., I don't know, Alex. To answer your question on Doc Rivers, I don't know the answer. I wish I did.
Yeah, it's really, really hard because right now, I don't think that anyone suggested that the Bucks would be bottom third in the league in offensive and defensive rating this early in the season. Yeah. You know, because we initially thought that Milwaukee, they were going to struggle a little bit. We didn't think that they were going to be world beaters like they were early on in the Mike Budenholzer era in 2018 and 19 when they were just, you know, blowing teams out of the arena, essentially. But I think something needs to change defensively. I don't know what it is. I think you maybe need to make a move for some sort of a defensive guard, though, in order to try and get yourself back. Someone that's like
Go ahead. Alex, let's translate what you're saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
What you're essentially saying is the Bucks probably made a mistake by moving Drew Holiday and acquiring Damian Lillard. I mean, that's what it sounds like to me. Now, obviously, the scoring presence and scoring threat that Damian Lillard poses against opposing defenses is a huge upgrade in comparison to Drew.
Yes.
But defensively, Dame is much larger of a liability than debatably the best defensive guard in the entire league. So while Drew is aging, and I keep calling this team old, the move makes sense in that regard. But defensively, I hear where you're coming from.
Yeah, and again, I'm not saying that they shouldn't have made the trade for Dame Strofe. What I am saying, though, is that maybe Holiday wasn't the one that you should have traded. That's what I'm saying, because I think that when they made the trade for Lillard, I thought that they were going to trade Middleton. Because Middleton, again, his health was a question mark. He was coming up with a big contract coming up with a player option. Nobody knew really what the future was for him. With Holiday, you at least had something in place, and you had a guy that essentially knew his role and didn't try to press.
No, I think you're 100% spot on there. And the thing, you know, when it comes to this rendition of the Milwaukee Bucks roster, the thing I struggle with, Alex, is I'm with you, right? I mean, they've already, according to Brian Windhorst of ESPN, they've already called effectively every team in the league looking to see how they can leverage a move in the coming months. The trade deadline's not till February, so I wouldn't imagine we'll see a lot of activity until the next calendar year, right, so the beginning of 2025.
Right.
But does anybody want to pick up a Chris Middleton? Does anybody want to bring in a Damian Lillard? Does anybody want a Pat Connaughton or a Bobby Portis? I really don't know that answer, but I'm leaning probably not, right? The best tradable asset you have is the one I don't think you would ever move, and that, of course, is Giannis. So
you're probably right.
That's the pickle John Horst finds himself in, and you know, as much as I want to continue to sit here and say, hey, man, I'm holding out hope. I'm holding out hope that this team can revert back to the championship team that we know and expect, it's going to get tricky when it comes to making moves that I do imagine John Horst will eventually make. I just don't know if they'll have as big of a splash as the Bucks seemingly need.
Yeah, again, talking here with Alex Strofe from ESPN Milwaukee here on the Sports Q on WJJQ. Strofe, you mentioned the next 10 games. Let's go ahead and go over those. So they've got two games with the Pistons. One of them is an NBA Cup game. They've got Charlotte coming up on Saturday. They've got Houston, who's been playing pretty well. They've got Chicago. They've got Indiana. They actually have Charlotte twice. Then, as you mentioned, they have Miami. And then they've got Washington. So it's not like, and sandwiched in there also is Atlanta, who seems to be surprising people because they knocked off Boston last night. These next 10 games are going to tell us a lot about what this team is made of, in my opinion.
I'm totally with you, right? Like I said, if you go 7-3 at minimum, you're 10-11 going to Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And like we talked about earlier in our conversation, when you look at the Eastern Conference standings, 10-11 would be like the fourth best team in the Eastern Conference right now.
Yeah.
Right? You're not in the play-in. You're not at the bottom of the playoffs. You'd in fact have a home playoff series at 10-11 as it stands. And obviously, like I said, that will change as we get 80 games into the season rather than 20. But when you face Boston on December 6th, if you go 7-3,
you're 10-11. If you go 8-2, all of a sudden you're a game over 500.
Mm-hmm.
So that changes the perception of this Bucks team drastically. So all in all, we're going to find out a lot about this team. Alex, if they go 4-6, it might be time to start bagging the question, is it time to trade Giannis? I don't want to do it. I don't think anybody wants to do
it. No.
But you've got to at some point look at your future, and you've already mortgaged your future. You don't have any draft picks or any draft capital that can be appealing to a trade suitor. The one piece you have that would be, get you a lot and help you out in the future is Giannis. And I don't think they would do it.
No,
I don't know if they'd consider it. But it's the one thing that could help you look ahead and pass the Giannis era, which, again, I say, I desperately do not want to do.
No, I am with you there. So, as you mentioned, we talk about these next 10 games. Let me ask you this, because obviously going 3-8 to begin the season is not what anyone expected. How do you think they can play better?
Make more shots than the other team. I mean, look, joking aside.
You're funny.
you need somebody to emerge as that third option consistently, whether that's A.J. Green hitting a couple momentum threes off the bench, or if that's, Brooke Lopez finding a rhythm offensively, or Bobby getting out of this funk he's been in the early part of the season. You need somebody to help out Damian Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo. When you look at back-to-backs, I'm leaning towards Giannis will play more than he won't. I haven't looked at the lineup or who's in or out for tonight as the Bucks here on game 2 of a back-to-back. But I would guess, you just need somebody to be that third fiddle offensively that can do more for you. And then defensively, it's the same thing. And they look good tonight, albeit against the Toronto Raptors. They still let Grady Dick go bananas, the former Kansas star. But,
yeah.
I think they held him to, 86 points last night? That's very rare in the NBA.
Yes, so, it is.
Albeit a bad team in Toronto, 86 points is still drastically lower than the league average. So, defensively, I'm actually much less worried about this team than I am offensively. I don't know if you agree with that, but that's where I stand here through whatever it is, 11 games or so.
Well, the Bucks are back at home tonight in a back-to-back. They've got the Pistons tonight. Tip for that game is at 7 o'clock. And Giannis Antetokounmpo, not sure about Damian Lillard's status for tonight, though he was in concussion protocol last night. Alex Stroh from ESPN Milwaukee. Alex, thank you very much for joining me. A lot of fun, my friend.
Yeah, we'll do it soon again, my man. Appreciate you.
Absolutely. You have a good day.
Day too. See ya.
See ya. That was Alex Stroh from ESPN Milwaukee here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Thank you very much for joining us here on this wonderful Wednesday. Coming up in the second half of the show, we're going to have a new hatchet coach in the house. Eric Neave is going to stop by, and he's going to talk about what his plans are for his first season at the helm. We'll welcome him to the Tomahawk community. We'll also have Badger football against #1 Oregon. We've got Badger basketball against #9 Arizona. And, of course, we have our weekly NFL predictions. All's coming up on next part of the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Tomahawk, good to have you along here on this Wednesday evening. It's about 6 o'clock, 45 degrees here under dark skies with our wind chill at 41 degrees. It's time for our latest update from CBS News.
Talking Packers, Badgers, Brewers, Bucks, and local sports, you are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
President-elect Trump picks Congressman Matt Gaetz as U.S. Attorney General.
This is an extremely surprising nomination.
Biden-Trump White House meeting.
It was indeed very cordial, very gracious.
Capitol Hill power shift.
There will be a trifecta here in Washington.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Jennifer Kuiper. The administration choices by President-elect Donald Trump are coming at a swift pace, and GOP Senator Lisa Murkowski says of the pick for Attorney General,
this one was not on my bingo card.
And she adds that she doesn't think it's a serious pick. CBS's Matt Piper with details.
President-elect Donald Trump will nominate longtime ally Republican Congressman Matt Gaetz of Florida to serve as his attorney general. If confirmed, Gaetz would lead the Justice Department, a federal agency of more than 100,000 employees. The 42-year-old himself was the subject of a DOJ probe into allegations that he violated sex trafficking laws and obstructed justice, though it was closed last year. Trump also says he selected former Rep. Tulsi Gabbard to serve as his director of national intelligence. needs.
And Trump named Senator Marco Rubio as Secretary of State. President Biden has met with President-elect Trump at the White House, and they've discussed a wide range of issues, including foreign policy.
In a meeting that lasted nearly 2 hours, President Biden's views on the military alliance NATO was part of the discussion.
He believes that America's allies are vital to America's national security.
White House National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan.
They make us stronger. They multiply our capability. They take a burden off of our shoulders. They contribute to our common causes.
Including the cause, he said, of standing up for Ukraine. The president-elect's America First approach has raised concerns among NATO allies and Ukraine. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, The White House.
Senate Republicans elect John Thune of South Dakota as leader, replacing Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, who's stepping down after a 17-year run.
We are excited to reclaim the majority and to get to work with our colleagues in the House to enact President Trump's agenda.
Thune beat Senators John Cornyn and Rick Scott in a secret ballot vote. CBS News projects Republicans will retain their majority in the U.S. House. Correspondent Nicole Killian.
Even though Republicans have felt relatively confident this week in the House that they would ultimately retain the majority, now they can say with confidence that they have achieved that, and they have made clear that they intend to move very swiftly on President-elect Donald Trump's agenda.
Speaker Mike Johnson has won the GOP nomination to remain in his job and faces a full House vote in January. Inflation ticked up 0.2% in October, driven by costlier rents, used cars, and airfares. Inflation is now up 2.6% from this time last year. Stocks closed mixed on Wall Street. Now this.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Ooma.
What was that?
That is business phone bliss with the Ooma Cloud phone system. It handles all our voice, video, and messaging needs.
You sound very
calm. I am. Ooma has everything I need to run my business more efficiently, like virtual receptionist, call routing, and video conferencing. And it starts at just $19.95 per month per user, plus taxes and fees.
Ooma.
Nice. Find your business calm at ooma.com/radio.
If fashion is your thing, eBay is it. eBay is where I find all my favorites, from handbags to iconic streetwear, all authenticated. For real. This time, a little Supreme, some Gucci. I even have that vintage Prada on my watch list. That's why eBay's my go-to for all my go-tos. Yeah, eBay. The place for new, pre-loved, vintage, and rare fashion. eBay. Things people love.
A recount is triggered in Pennsylvania's Senate race as three-term Democrat Bob Casey is locked in a tight race and declines to concede to Republican Dave McCormick. CBS News has not issued a projection in the race. Special counsel Jack Smith's team is asking a federal appeals court to pause the government's bid to revive the criminal case accusing President-elect Donald Trump of illegally handling classified documents. In a court filing, prosecutors cite Trump's election victory. Charges are filed against a U.S. government employee accused of leaking records on Israel's retaliatory strike on Iran. CBS's Charlie Daggett with the latest.
The suspect's been named as Asif Rahman. He did hold top security clearance, which is why he got access to those documents, according to two sources familiar with the matter. And according to the court records, he leaked that information, remember, October 17th, from locations outside the U.S.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
WJJQ Radio Sports Time, 6:05 p.m. and a very good Wednesday evening. I'm Alex Cook, 45 degrees here in the Northwoods under fair dark skies. You're tuned into the Sports Queue here on WJJQ. Coming up on the second part of our show, we have a new Hatcher coach in the house. Eric Neve is going to join the show. We're going to talk about what his plans are for his first season at the helm. And we're also going to take a look at the Badger football showdown as they take on number one Oregon coming up this Saturday. That's coming up in part two of the Sports Queue. That'll be next after weather from Brittany Rouleau.
At Belltower Residence Assisted Living, we believe in making every day meaningful for seniors. Our commitment to dignity, respect, and caring is at the heart of everything we do. Our vibrant and engaging community offers a wide range of activities and opportunities. From social gatherings to stimulating hobbies, there's always something interesting happening. Nestled on a lush 12-acre campus, Belltower Residence offers a tranquil and beautiful place for seniors to call home. We understand the importance of personal attention and compassion passionate support, which is why we provide individualized care plans to meet each resident's needs. Experience the warmth and care that define us, for residents and staff alike. And if you're ready to make a difference, join our team. We're hiring resident assistants and certified nursing assistants. We offer free CNA classes to employees, competitive pay, a supportive workplace, great benefits, and more. Visit us at belltowerresidence.org to learn more or to apply online to join our team. Bell Tower Residence Assisted Living, 1500 O'Day Street in Merrill.
The forecast for the Northwoods. Temperatures are falling to mid-30s under overcast and cloudy skies with light rain rolling through. A little bit of drizzle or some spotty light showers are possible early tomorrow morning, but that winds down and clears on out of here. The rain, that is. The clouds linger. High temperatures will rise a few degrees warmer to the upper 40s and fall to the mid-30s tomorrow night. Finally, have a brighter day for Friday. Partly cloudy skies and highs hitting 50. We hang on to that and flirt with 50 degrees for the entire weekend and even into early next week. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot for WJJQ.
The Sports Q on WJJQ, your source for sports from around the state and in the Northwoods. Here's your host, Alex Cook.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you on this wonderful Wednesday evening. It's just about 6:08. Thank you very much, by the way, to Alex Rowe from ESPN Milwaukee for joining the show. Hopefully the Bucks can turn it around even more starting tonight. But now it's time for our Hatchet Interview of the Week, and we have a newcomer here in the house tonight. Please, everyone, if you're listening over the airwaves, join us in giving a virtual WJJQ media welcome to new Hatchet Boys basketball coach, Eric Neve. Eric, welcome and thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
I want you to hold that mic up a little bit closer to your face there. All right, there you go. That's better, right?
I think so, yeah.
All right, there we go. All right, so Eric, you're pretty fresh out of college. Why don't you start off by telling me and the Tomahawk community a little bit about yourself?
So I'm from a small city of Pittsville, Wisconsin. It's the exact center of the state. I got up here and everyone's like, oh, this is a small school, small area for you. And I'm like, this is three times the size of where I'm from. So, in high school, I did all sports, football, baseball, and basketball throughout. Led into college, I did a little bit of club baseball and kept into intramural basketball. And then I went for secondary math education. And that kind of led me to up here in Tomahawk for a teaching position up at the high school math.
So you're obviously a high school math teacher. Why did you decide, though, to get into coaching?
So from a young age, both my parents coached me up. My dad did football and baseball, and my mom did basketball mainly. So there's a lot of coaching in the household, and it kind of grew a passion for sports within me. So as soon as I got into high school, I just started thinking about coaching right away. I mean, obviously, I was still loving playing the sports, but I knew as soon as I was done, I was still going to have a part in sports sometime in my future.
Why did you decide to come up to Tomahawk?
So it turns out that my girlfriend is also a teacher here. So we both graduated at the same time, and we were looking for a position that was relatively close to each other. And this is one that was hiring both her position and my position, so it kind of worked out to both interview, and we both landed the gig up here, thankfully. So,
and talking here with new Hatchet Boys basketball coach Eric Neve here on the Sports Q on WJJQ. So, Eric, why don't you tell the Tomahawk community, for those that are not familiar, a little bit about Pittsville's high school sports program?
So for Pittsville, we are actually very well known for our baseball. Sadly, I was the year that we ruined our regional streak my junior year. We went to regionals, I think, won regionals almost 8 or 9 years in a row. And went to sectionals plenty of times, but then sadly, junior year was a little downfall. We were looking good for my senior year, but COVID became a thing, so we didn't get to play our senior year. Basketball has been pretty decent over in Pittsville. My senior year, we actually won regionals and then moved on to sectionals, where we lost to Rib Lake when COVID began a thing. So we had a small crowd over there in DC.
Very good
Everest,
program.
So. But yeah, I know we lost in sectionals there in football. It's not really been a thing for us there.
No problem. So of all the sports that you decided to play, you mentioned playing football, basketball, baseball. Why did you decide to get into basketball?
From a young age in third grade, we actually started a year early for where we are in Pittsville, because fourth grade's where we're supposed to start there. But we started a year early, and that's where most of my friendships grew from, was from basketball. We always talked about basketball, even when we were in football or baseball. I love baseball a lot. That's kind of my family's thing. But thought basketball is where the love kind of grew through the relationships that were built throughout it. So,
New Hatchet boys basketball coach Eric Neve here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. So, Eric, hard to believe that the winter sports season is just about here. You begin practice next week. You had the parents meeting a couple of weeks ago. How many kids do you think you're expecting to have on the team this year?
Right now we're hoping for 22. Hopefully we can add some more here in the upcoming days. I'm going to talk to some kids. We will have three teams running this year. It is always a positive thing to have three teams going.
Yes.
That's because you want kids to get playing time. If you have a deep bench on JV, it's not a lot of playing time for all the kids. So even if you're running a 7 or 8 man team with two on the bench or three, those kids might get tired, but it's a lot better for them than just sitting and watching.
So let's go ahead and talk about this team here, Eric. And this team has, this program really has struggled throughout the last few years. They won just two games last year. First round exit again in the postseason to Wittenberg Burnham Wood last year. What will you personally bring to the table to try and get this program up and running?
I'm hoping to bring a different perspective to it. I believe I have a pretty good basketball understanding and knowledge. There's a lot of things that we're going to mix up this year to try and throw different looks at different teams just to try and take away their best player to make their worst player beat us. There's a lot of little aspects you can dive into on each team individually. I know right now we have Tigerton coming up, and they actually have a kid that is, I think, about 6'8", and our tallest guy is about 6'3", so there's a big height advantage for them there, but we're going to have to take him away and kind of make them shoot the three ball, which they kind of struggled with last year. So that's one little aspect of what we can do for each team individually. Like I said, this conference is very deep, so there's a lot of different things we have to look at when it comes with that. But when it comes up, we'll get there.
And talking here with New Hatchet boys basketball coach Eric Neve here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. So, Eric, let's go ahead and talk about what you have set. You're a first-year coach. You came up here. This is your first job fresh out of college. What are a couple of goals that you have set for yourself this year?
As in coaching or just in life?
Just in coaching.
Oh, just in coaching. fair enough.
We can do live too if you want.
Nah, that's good. For coaching, I'm looking to get more kids motivated to come out and build a program that kids want to be a part of. A lot of the reason that I've been hearing this year for kids not wanting to play is the fact that we haven't been successful, so they're just not enjoying it anymore. Obviously, it hurts to hear that because then it feels like you don't know if the kids truly love the game or not sometimes. But sometimes building that successful culture brings kids and gets their attention to want to come out and play. So hopefully if we have a successful season this year, we can get a bigger number of kids coming out and want to be part of the team and create a more winning culture up here. I've looked at the stats and the records of the past so many years, and I've seen it's been a couple down, it's been some down years up here, I've noticed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a hard spot to start at to create that winning culture. So it's a mindset that not only me, but the kids have to come in with and be ready to begin having that winning mindset. And it's going to take a little bit to get there, but hopefully by mid-season, the kids will be fully bought in and ready to go.
Well, let's definitely hope so. So you talked about yourself as coaching. Why don't you talk about a goal or two that you have for the team itself in your first year?
For the team itself, I would love to be able to host a playoff game, at least one. Obviously, that's kind of a big ask, especially with how our regional is aligned with who we have there. So we have to have a pretty good season. With looking at our schedule, I am hoping to get at least 7 wins this year. There are some teams from down by me that I'm seeing, so hopefully I have some understanding of what they are going to try and bring against us. But hopefully we can get up to about 7 wins this year, which is 5 more than last year, which is a small goal for me. I think we can possibly get to 10 if we really push hard, but obviously I don't want to ask too much of these kids. But hopefully they once again build into that wanting to win mentality, and hopefully that kind of helps us go through the season.
Coach, do you have any final thoughts before we wrap things up here?
Not too many thoughts, but I know it's a pleasure and honor to be up here. It's been a very welcoming city to me.
Mm-hmm.
The kids are starting to seem excited to get the season going next week. I know we have a couple kids who are a little hurt, but they are still excited for the season to get going, and they can't wait to be able to get back and start playing. It's just so refreshing to see these kids wanting to play sports and be together.
That's the best part about it, isn't it? Wanting to see kids play.
Yeah.
Of course. So, again, Tomahawk boys basketball, they begin practice, by the way, on Monday. Their first game of the season is on December 3rd in Tigerton. New Hatchet boys basketball coach Eric Neve. Eric, Pleasure talking with you, my friend. Look to talk to you more throughout the course of the season.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. We're going to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we'll chat with Badger football, and we'll talk about what they need to do to upset Oregon Saturday. That's next here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ.
Covering sports from Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, and the Northwoods. You're listening to the Sports Q with Alex Cook on WJJQ.
Make your next vehicle buying experience easy at Bremen Merrill Ford. How? Let's start with our sales team, who consistently ranks among the top in overall sales experience and sales satisfaction. Ranked high because of their commitment to making everyone's vehicle buying experience easy and enjoyable. And of course, the obvious. Bremen Merrill Ford will give you the absolute best price on all new and used trucks and SUVs. In addition to the best price, Bremen Merrill Ford has the best selection of late model trucks and SUVs to choose from. All inspected and fully reconditioned by factory trained and experienced Ford technicians. Buying your next vehicle is easier than you think at Bremen Merrill Ford. With their top-rated sales team, best price, and huge selection of premium trucks and SUVs. Come see why everyone is saying it's so easy to find their next vehicle at Bremen Merrill Ford. Exit 211 South Merrill. Online at BremenMerrillFord.com.
It's easier than you think at Bremen Merrill Ford.
Hi, this is Matt Tyler from Wild Rivers Group Real Estate of Tomahawk and serving all of the Northwoods area. We have buyers and need listings. Are you thinking about selling your home? If so, give me a call at 715-490-1820. The market is still hot, and now is the time to list your property. I will give you all the details on what your property is worth in today's market and help you find a buyer. Call me, Matt Tyler, at 715-490-1820 or stop by our office at 1414 North 4th Street in Tomahawk. You can also check us out online at wildriversgroup.com.
Welcome back to the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you on this wonderful Wednesday evening. It's now 6:18. Thank you very much to New Hatchet boys basketball coach Eric Neen for stopping by and talking. That was a lot of fun. Very curious to see how the boys are going to be able to handle a new coach because, well, I mean, it's going to be a program that's going to need to be rebuilt. So let's hope he's the right man for the job. That's the best thing you can ask for. Let's go ahead and switch back to the gridiron, though, and head down to Madison.
Two tight ends, right side of the formation. Handoff, Walker over the right side, and he's in. Touchdown, Wisconsin. And the handoff goes to Tom Wee Walker off the left side to the five, to the end zone. Touchdown, Wisconsin. Tom Wee Walker, a little walk-in off the left edge. Locke will hand it to Walker to the 50, 45, 40. He's gone. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Tom Wee Walker. As the Badgers deliver the knockout punch here in the fourth quarter.
Well, they're going to need a few knockout punches to knock out Oregon this week. So the Badgers, in addition to the Packers, were off this past weekend. And after how Wisconsin played against Iowa, they really, really needed it. That's the definition of hitting rock bottom. So they have their toughest opponent, number one, Oregon, to date, who the Oregon Ducks have been the best team in the country throughout the course of the season. And they have played with very, very good offense and stingy defense. The one thing that's impressed me the most about Oregon has been their quarterback, who is Dylan Gabriel. He's currently a Heisman frontrunner along with him and that running back for Boise State, Ashton Gentry. So, again, I'm going to try and make this similar to how it was with the Penn State game. This game could have the makings of an upset, just so you know. It's a primetime game at Camp Randall, which it doesn't get better than that. It's against a team that's ranked in the top five, and Oregon, they're not as susceptible as to losing in the top five like Penn State is, but they're not unbeatable. That's the best thing you could say. They are not unbeatable. They are big. They are very, very fast, but they can be had at some point. The best way to beat Oregon is to punch them in the mouth early. That's the best way to do it. You have to punch them in the mouth early. You take the opening drive. You go down the field. You score points. And the Badgers are fresh. The Ducks right now are 10-0. Again, their best win was over Ohio State earlier this season. Oregon has scored at least 30 points in 9 straight games. The only game where they didn't score over 30 was when they put up only 24 against Idaho. And that's when the alarm bell started going off of thinking, maybe this is not necessarily the best team, in a top 10 team in the country. But they've clearly have. They have the most explosive offense in all of college football. In order for Wisconsin to upset Oregon, the thing that they're going to have to do, like most classic Wisconsin teams have done in the past, is to muck the game up. If they can muck the game up and run the ball effectively, like they were during their 3-game winning streak against Rutgers, against Purdue, against Northwestern, they have a legitimate shot to pull it off. Tawie Walker's going to have a big game, going to have a big game. Darion Dupree's going to have to step up and play well as well. This is a tall task for Wisconsin. They're just one win away, by the way, from being bowl eligible. They have 2 more games after this game in order to get themselves ready for bowl eligibility. That is at Nebraska next week, which is winnable. They're a better program than they have been in the past, but it's still winnable. And against Minnesota for the Yaks. Try and hold Oregon to less than 30 points, even though it is, to me, very impossible. I wouldn't necessarily say impossible, I'm sorry. I would say it's unlikely. The most points that Oregon has put up in a game was 49 against Oregon State. And the biggest thing to me, and this is going to go down to Braden Locke, he cannot turn the ball over at all Saturday night. He cannot. Because if he does, that happens. Where the Badgers will roll over. Because it was his pick six that turned the game against Penn State. It was his interception that led to Iowa getting blown out. He is susceptible to turning the ball over. He has to cut back on the turnovers. They're going to have to run the ball effectively, Wisconsin. As Tawie Walker is going to have to rush for at least 100 to 150 yards in this game. And Wisconsin is also going to have to find a way to get a second runner involved, a guy like Darion Dupree involved. Because the Badgers, as of right now, again, they're fighting for bowl eligibility. And they're looking for that quality win under the Luke Fickell era, where you can legitimately look at them and say, okay, they have that quality win. What are they going to do about it? Are they going to take off? Or is that going to be a blip? They need that window. Their best win so far in the Luke Fickell era, in my opinion, came against Rutgers earlier this year. They almost beat LSU in the ReliaQuest Bowl. They won at Minnesota. They beat Nebraska at home. They were about 2 touchdowns off of Ohio State, last year. And they beat Illinois last year by 4. That's been their best wins. There's no top 25 wins that the Badgers have had so far in the Luke Fickell era. That can change if they're able to knock off number 1 Oregon. If they defeat Oregon, it would be the biggest upset of the season by far. Period. End of story. Wisconsin's going to have to play well. In order for them to have a legitimate chance, they are going to have to play well against a very, very good Oregon squad that could very well win the whole thing. It's what it boils down to. Take a look at the Week 11 recap from the Big Ten last week. UCLA over Iowa 20-17. Rutgers over Minnesota 26-19. Number 2 Ohio State shutting out Purdue 45-0. Number 8 Indiana over Michigan 20-15. Indiana is now ranked in the top 10. Kudos to them. They've played incredibly well, and they're off this week. Number 1 Oregon over Maryland 39-18. And number 6 Penn State over Washington 35-6. Meanwhile, a look at Week 12, the preview. Coming up this Friday, UCLA is in Washington. That'll begin at 8. Number 2, Ohio State is at Northwestern. Michigan State is at Illinois. Number 6, Penn State is at Purdue. Nebraska is at USC. And Rutgers is in Maryland. That's a look at Badger football in their preview against Oregon here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. We're going to take another break. When we come back, we're going to talk some Badger basketball after our weather forecast. They've got a showdown with 9th-ranked Arizona coming up Friday night. And that, to me, is more likely of an upset than Badger football against number one Oregon. I'll talk about why that is after our weather forecast here on the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Bringing Wisconsin sports to the Northwoods, this is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
We all have hopes, dreams, and goals for ourselves and our family. This is Rich Teggy with Wealth Strategy Group. Financial goals are no different than any other goal. It all starts with a plan. We know the importance of a solid financial plan focused on what's most important to you. We listen and take the time to understand your vision and create a strategy to pursue your specific dreams and goals. We would appreciate the opportunity to discuss your goals, understand your financial situation, and create a plan tailored to reaching your desired retirement lifestyle. Wealth Strategy Group is here to provide the assistance you need. Call us today at 453-0722 or access us on the web at wsginvest.com or stop by our office on North 4th Street in Tomahawk. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
John J. Shuni Construction is a family-owned company serving the area with trucking, excavating, and Wausau Homes. Their Wausau Homes Design Studio is at 1708 North 4th Street in Tomahawk, and they're ready to help make every home buyer's experience an enjoyable one from start to finish. Call 453-2015 for excavating, trucking, and Wausau Homes from John J. Shuni Construction of Tomahawk.
Hi, this is Jenny from The Grill. Be sure to pop on over during the month of November for the Popper Burger, November's Burger of the Month. This smash burger features fresh-cut jalapenos, homemade cream cheese popper topping, double cheddar cheese, slices of bacon, and fresh-cut lettuce all snug in a baked this morning bun. This burger is only available during the month of November and not found on the regular menu. Also new this month, The Grill is offering a happy burger hour, 2 to 4 p.m., Thursday through Sunday, dollar off all burgers and adult beverages. The Grill is located on Highway 51, just north of Highway K&L. Open Thursday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Scott, myself, and the kids look forward to serving you.
Here's a look at your Northwoods 92.5 forecast. Cloudy tonight with a chance for isolated showers. Lows around 38. Easterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Chance for isolated rain showers. Highs level off around 47. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki, and that's your forecast on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Currently 44.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Hope you're having a wonderful Wednesday here in the Northwoods today. It's just about 6:30 here at our WJJQ studios. So we talked about Badger football potentially getting an upset. What do you say we go ahead and stay in Madison, but switch back over to the hardwood?
10 seconds left. Hepburn against Jones, kicks to Klesman, to the line, in the lane, goes up, back, rim it in! 4.8 to play, Badgers up one, here's Jones with four, with three, right side with two, heaves it, missed it, and the Badgers win it! They're playing for the title tomorrow!
Well, let me tell you, that game winner still gives me chills for Max Klesman. Good to see him, by the way, back out on the court this year for Wisconsin. Nina Native, if you will. Ooh, a little bit of alliteration. Nina Native. Nina Native. Nina Native. Nina Native. I could go through this all day. Nina Native. Nina Native. Nina Native. I am the alliteration king.
It's good to be king.
There you go. So, Badger basketball with their toughest game of the season coming up this Friday against Arizona. Let me just catch everyone up on what happened with Wisconsin throughout the first couple of weeks, because with us living in the North Woods, and few people have been, you know, upset about it. The only time where you can watch Wisconsin through the first three games, and really for this one, is on streaming platforms, which is controversial to say the least.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious.
And don't call me Shirley.
But this is the way for all the sports and the media companies to make more money.
I'm a college man! I won't need my high school diploma anymore! I am too smart! I am too smart! I am too smart! I am too smart! S-M-R-T! I mean S-M-A-R-T!
With all these platforms, you would think that... you would think with everything going on at once, people would be going crazy.
I'm living in a cuckoo clock.
But just wait until 2,000 years from now, where we end up, watching it basically in thin air.
2,000 years later.
That much later, yes. Or
so much later that the old narrator got tired of waiting, and they had to hire a new one.
There you go. So. This is what I've taken a look at from Wisconsin with these first few games. With these first few games. They played... Excuse me, ma'am. They've played Holy Cross. They've played Montana State. And they've played Appalachian State. So, the Badgers' offense has looked good. Not going to lie. They are very balanced. They're not playing hero ball. They are putting up points in bunches. They've got five players that are in double figures, it seems like, on a night-in, night-out basis. Here's the thing. They've gotten off to slow starts this year. And against teams like Holy Cross, you can live with that. Because you already know that you're a better team and you could just flip a switch on just like that. They can't start slow, though, later on in the season. This can't be a continuing trend for them. So the Badgers are very balanced offensively. They're getting good shots. They're knocking down shots. They're low turnovers. This is exactly what we wanted to see Wisconsin be at the beginning of the season. They put up 85 points against Holy Cross, 79 against Montana State, and 87 against Appalachian State. Those are good numbers. Holy Cross and Appalachian State I'm not worried about because it's a mid-major team going up against a major team. Putting up 79 against Montana State, you could put a little bit of stock into it mainly because Montana State made the tournament last year. However, their defense needs to be better, in my opinion. Needs to be amped up a bit. You need to take it up another notch because if you are going to play and compete against most of these teams that they're going to be going against. Teams like Arizona, teams like Marquette, and you take a look at the other teams that are in the Big Ten as well. Purdue, still a good program. Rutgers in the top 25. Ohio State in the top 25. Purdue, top 25. Michigan State, well coached. Nebraska, well coached under Fred Hoiberg. You look at these teams that Wisconsin is going up against, you can't afford to have defensive lapses and you can't afford to have slow starts. Those two need to be fixed. This game that's coming up this Friday for them, it's against a top 10 team in the Arizona Wildcats. And Arizona has been a very good program, it seems like, throughout the last 20 years. I'm more worried about how well they're going to perform tournament time. And the Badgers beat them both times in what I consider to be the two greatest years in Wisconsin basketball history, when they went to the Final Four back-to-back years with that combo of Sam Decker and Frank Kaminsky and Trayvon Jackson and Josh Gosser. Oh, I'm getting nostalgic just thinking about it. This Badger team, though, is struggling, would struggle against Arizona. Arizona knocked them off last year, 98-73, and the one thing I would like to see from Wisconsin is how they compete against a very good team. Arizona is a dynamite program. They have been a great program over the last 20 years, and they will continue to be, in my honest-to-God opinion. Now, tournament time, they are susceptible to early exits, but most of the big teams are. As it pertains to this game, though, the one thing I'm looking for from Wisconsin is how they can compete. If they are able to compete against Arizona, and if they are able to put forth a respected effort, an effort where they will make Arizona work for every single basket, make them work on defense, make them work offensively, then I consider that to be a success. Now, the reason why I say that to be a success is because Wisconsin this year, there's not a lot of expectations for the Badgers. There just isn't, okay? If they can go in and beat Arizona, if they're able to beat the Arizona Wildcats on Friday night, which I think is possible, then you've set the tone for the rest of the season. We are going to finally sit back and see, okay, you beat a very good team. What are you going to do about it from here on out? Because after this is what Wisconsin's schedule looks like after Arizona. They've got Texas Rio Grande Valley on Monday, UTRGV, if you are into acronyms.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Then they've got UCF, who knocked off Texas A&M to begin the season, Chicago State, Michigan, that's their first Big Ten game, then at Marquette, Illinois, at Butler, and Detroit Mercy, before they begin the rest of Big Ten play against Iowa in January. The Badgers don't necessarily have a quality win, though, over the last few years. And that's another thing, like the football team. They haven't had a quality win over the last couple of years. Probably their most quality win that you could say last year was over Purdue, the game winner that Max Klesman had in the Big Ten tournament, when they essentially knocked them off 76-75 in overtime. Then against Illinois, they lost by 6. And then they just absolutely, you know what, the bed. They wet the bed, if you will, against James Madison. So they're going to need to get a quality win. And this win over Arizona would qualify as that. The Badgers currently are a middle-of-the-road Big Ten team. They need to find a way to get themselves over the top. The two teams played against each other last year, and again, Arizona took Wisconsin to the woodshed, 98-73. And again, a lot of different players on this Badger team, but they still have Max Klesman. They still have Nolan Winter. They've got good players. They just need to put it together. They need to put everything together and have a very, very good season. Meanwhile, Arizona, they've got Caleb Love returning, and Caleb Love, from what we understand, can make big shots in big moments. We saw that when he was in North Carolina a couple of years ago, all the way up until the national championship game. We've seen him do that in big, big spots. They're consistently a deep threat from three-point range. The rest of the Wildcats, honestly, are a threat from three-point range throughout the season, because that's how dominant they have been and how good of a program they are. This is a very, very big early game for Wisconsin. I would like to see if they can get wins against top-tier teams because, again, after that, they've got a pretty easy schedule. They got Texas Rio Grande Valley. They've got UCF. They got the Greenbrier tip-off with them. Then they've got Chicago State after Thanksgiving. Michigan at home to begin Big Ten play. At Marquette, which is always fun when those two teams go against each other. I get so, so giddy when those two go against each other. Then they go to Illinois, and Illinois was the team that beat them in the Big Ten title game last year, followed by at Butler, Detroit Mercy at home, and then you begin the rest of Big Ten play with teams like Iowa and Rutgers and Minnesota and USC, UCLA. Indiana, by the way, I didn't even mention them. They're a top 20 team at this point under Coach Mike Woodson. So as of right now, this is a very tall task for the Badgers. See if they answer the call. You're tuned into the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. It is 6:40, and after the break, we've got our Week 10 NFL recap and our Week 11 NFL predictions. That's coming up on the Sports Q at 5:30 on WJJQ.
Talking about the sports teams that you care about. Youth, high school, college, and pro. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Premier Heating and Cooling, your local Lennox dealer, would like to remind you the cold weather season is here. Make sure your furnace is ready. Lennox makes the air warmer, drier, cleaner, and better with innovative systems that are exceptionally quiet and energy efficient to save you money. Ask about qualifying Lennox system rebates. Call Premier Heating and Cooling at 453-4700 for a free estimate for your Lennox heating needs and great service after the sale, with special protection plan memberships available. Lennox innovation never felt so good. Premier Heating and Cooling, serving customers from Weston to Woodruff and locations in between. Call 453-4700, online at premierheatingcooling.com, or their showroom at the intersection of Muskellunge Lake Road and County Road A, Tomahawk.
Get on board at Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk. Outboards serves their fantastic menu selections from 11 a.m. until 10 p.m. daily. Stop on by for happy hour from 2 until 5, Monday through Thursday. Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk, features their Friday fish fry with cod, walleye, shrimp, and catch of the day. It's Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk. Get on board.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Good to have you along here on this wonderful, wonderful Wednesday evening. One of my favorite piano intros, Van Halen's Right Now. Or as some people would like to say, Van Hagar. That's a big swing and a miss there, if you ask me. Let's go ahead and take a look at the NFL results from last week. Baltimore winning a barn burner over Cincinnati, 35-34, as I thought. Carolina upsetting the Giants in Germany, 20-17. New England upsetting Chicago, 19-3. Buffalo over Indianapolis, 30-20. Kansas City finding ways to win again, winning on a blocked field goal, 16-14. New Orleans upsetting Atlanta, 20-17. San Francisco over Tampa Bay, 23-20. 28-27, Pittsburgh over Washington. Minnesota over Jacksonville, 12-7. Chargers over the Titans, 27-17. Philadelphia over Dallas, 34-6, and Dallas has just absolutely hit rock bottom. Arizona over the Jets, 31-6. That's another team that's hit rock bottom. Lions over the Houston Texans, 26-23, and Miami, over the Rams, 23-15. So I went 9-5 this season, 9-5 this past week, which, in my opinion, it's not bad. I have not had a losing week in predictions since week 3, which I consider to be a very, very good thing. Very good thing, if I do say so myself. My record overall, 97-58. So unless I completely wet the bed with these predictions, I think that I'm going to be surpassing 100 wins at week 11. As a matter of fact, I end up getting 100 wins by week 11. That means I might be able to get to 150 before the end of the season, which would be ideal. Huh, man, but enough of my crazy math. You're not here to listen to me do math on a consistent basis. You're here for sports. And as is the case every week, let's now dive in to our week 11 NFL predictions.
Yeah, here we go!
So let's go ahead and start off with the four teams that are on bye this week. Those are Arizona, Tampa Bay, Carolina, and the New York Giants.
All hail the New York Giants!
New York Giants!
Kicking off week 11 with a Thursday night game, Washington at Philadelphia. Big NFC East showdown. We'll have the broadcast of this game for you here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Both teams are playing incredibly well. Both teams coming off of great performances, even though Washington lost to Pittsburgh. I'm going to take Philadelphia to win this game. Here's the reason why. I trust the Commanders at home. I don't trust them to win a big game on the road yet. So I'll take Philadelphia in a close one, 31-30. Green Bay in Chicago to take on the Bears. We'll have the broadcast of this game for you here also on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Packers coming off a bye. Bears coming off really tough losses to New England and Carolina. Just fired Shane Waldron. I think Green Bay gets the win. I don't think it'll be a blowout. I think that Chicago is due for a big game. Packers win 28-21. Detroit at home against the Jacksonville Jaguars. No Trevor Lawrence for Jacksonville. Mac Jones gets the start. The Lions are going to win this game 38-14. It is not going to be close. New York Jets at home against the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts going back to Anthony Richardson this week. Today was just announced, instead of rolling with Joe Flacco the rest of the way. With that being said, I'm going to take the Jets to win. They have to get a win if they're going to keep their playoff hopes alive. I got the Jets winning 24-21. Minnesota in Tennessee to take on the Titans. The Titans still have Will Levis a quarterback. Based on that logic, I am going to take the Vikings to win. Probably won't be a blowout, but I still think they win 28-17. Miami at home against the Las Vegas Raiders. Gardner Minshew getting the start at QB for the Raiders. And meanwhile, Miami, they've got Tua Tagovailoa back. He took another couple scary hits against the Rams last week. Hopefully, he's able to get away from those hits. I think the Dolphins will win. I don't think that they'll be explosive offensively like they were last year with Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle, but I still think they'll win 27-20. Rams in New England to take on the Patriots. New England shocking the Bears last week. Thank you very much for that, New England. And the Rams coming off a tough loss. I think they bounce back. I think that this is a game where they bounce back. They get a win. It's a get-right game for them. Rams over the Patriots, 27-17. Now it is time for our Toilet Bowl of the Week. As we continue our predictions, our Toilet Bowl of the Week is New Orleans against the Cleveland Browns. And the reason why is because interim coach for New Orleans, and bad quarterback play at the helm. I'm going to take the Saints to win 23-21 just because Derek Carr I trust over Jameis Winston, which isn't saying much. Pittsburgh at home against the Baltimore Ravens. This is going to be a fun matchup. Looking forward to this one. And this is going to be my upset of the week.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
Pittsburgh over Baltimore in a barn burner, 30-28. Now we're going to go over to the late games. The Atlanta Falcons in Denver to take on the Broncos. Falcons coming off a rough showing against the Saints. Meanwhile, Denver nearly knocked off Kansas City from the rank of the unbeatens. I am going to take Atlanta. I think it's going to be a very close game. I don't see Denver having that offensive firepower yet. Falcons, though, win 27-23. NFC West showdown. San Francisco and Seattle. These two teams are fighting for second place currently in the NFC West behind Arizona, mainly because San Francisco, though, with a win, could get into first place in the West. The Seahawks are just completely mediocre. I don't trust them against a quality team. San Francisco gets the win 24-23. Kansas City in Buffalo to take on the Bills. Are the Chiefs going to lose this week? My answer to that is a big, fat no. I think the Chiefs go to 10-0. I don't think they lose their undefeated streak against the Bills, and they get the win 24-20. Chargers at home. This is the Sunday night game. We'll have the broadcast of this game for you here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Chargers against the Bengals. Bengals have to get themselves right. Their defense cannot stop molasses running down a slow hill, but the Chargers haven't been as explosive offensively as they have been in past years. So I think it'll probably be a game for the Bengals to lose. I'll take them to win 28-27. Finally, our Monday night game, we'll have the broadcast of this game for you here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Houston Texans taking on the Dallas Cowboys in a Lone Star Showdown on Monday Night Football. The Dallas Cowboys have just absolutely free-fallen now, with Dak Prescott being out for the rest of the season due to an injury. Therefore, I'm going to take the Texans to win. This is a get-right game for them. They'll get back into the mix, and they'll win 30-17. Those are my Week 11 NFL predictions here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. You're tuned in to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. It is about 6:50. I'll be back with local events coming up, and we'll also have our final countdown coming up next.
Where Northern Wisconsin comes for in-depth Wisconsin sports talk. From youth sports to the pros, you are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Tired of living with pain and discomfort? Would you like help that's invested in your progress and your personal goals? And if so,
Health in Motion Physical Therapy is here for you. Health in Motion ensures you'll receive personalized care from a team of experienced therapists who have remained dedicated to treating the Tomahawk community. And it doesn't have to be expensive. Health in Motion will discuss your insurance benefits with you so you know what to expect before treatment starts. And they offer affordable self-pay rates so you can focus on feeling better, not unexpected bills. Don't wait in pain. Take the first steps toward a pain-free life by calling Health in Motion at 715-453-6650 or visit himwi.com to schedule your appointment. Once again, go to himwi.com and schedule your appointment. Health in Motion wants you to get back to the activities you love quickly so you don't have to be in physical therapy longer than you need to be.
So come on.
With so much selection, it might be tough to decide which vehicle you'll drive off the lot at the Auto House on North 4th and Tomahawk. Cars, trucks, and SUVs, there's over 40 to choose from, and all backed up by the ASE-certified service department at the Auto House. As seasons change, knowing the vehicle you drive can handle all the cold weather throws at us here in the Northwoods, let Gary help give you that peace of mind as he helps you pick out your next vehicle. And if you don't see what you want on the lot, Gary at the Auto House can help you find what you do want. Rental vehicles are also available at the Auto House. Come and find out why people have shopped at the Auto House for over 40 years, where Gary does business the right way. That's the Auto House on North 4th and Tomahawk, and online at autohousecars.net. That's AUTOHAUS cars.net.
Welcome back to the Sports Queue here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you on this wonderful Wednesday evening. Thank you very much for tuning into the Sports Queue throughout the night. Thank you also very much to our guests for joining me on the show, Alex Stroh from ESPN Milwaukee and Eric Neve, the new Hatchet Boys basketball coach. Looking forward to see what the Hatchet Boys team has in store for this year. Let's now go into our local sporting events, by the way, for this week. Coming up, though, on Friday, it's the WIAA Division II Girls State Swim Meet at the Waukesha South Natatorium. We'll quickly go over the Great Northern Conference State Qualifiers. From Anago in the 100-yard butterfly, senior Chloe Tainter, the 200-yard freestyle relay, and in the 100-yard backstroke, freshman Holland Tainter, along with the 400-yard freestyle relay team. For Lakeland, the 200-yard medley relay team, junior Olivia Mickle for the 200-yard IM and the 100-yard breaststroke and the 400-yard freestyle relay. Medford's 200 and 400-yard freestyle relay teams both made it. And for Rhinelander, their 200-yard medley relay team, sophomore Riley McAvicius, the 200-yard freestyle and the 100-yard butterfly, senior Elise Yonker, senior Lily Thorson, junior Emma Hogue, and sophomore Celia Francis in the 200-yard IM, sophomore Ella Heck and sophomore Vivian Lamers in the 50-yard freestyle, junior Millie Groot and senior Elise Yonker in the 100-yard butterfly, sophomore Vivian Lamers in the 100-yard freestyle, the 200-yard freestyle relay team, sophomore Kylie Pooch and sophomore Celia Francis of the 100-yard backstroke, sophomore Ella Heck and senior Lily Thorson of the 100-yard breaststroke, and the 400-yard freestyle relay team. A big congratulations to all of the Great Northern Conference state qualifiers. And as we flip the calendar over to the winter, that's right, folks, the girls' basketball season begins next week. So very quickly for Tuesday, girls' basketball season will begin. Practice began for them earlier this week. Got the chance to talk to New Hatchet girls' basketball coach John Long as well, who we'll also have in the sports queue for you coming up next week. So these are the local girls' basketball matchups coming up on Tuesday. Shawamigan will be in Mercer. Lakeland hosts Menominee. Elko takes on Bowler. Leona Wabino has Niagara. Medford's heading out to Shawano. Merrill will be hosting Stratford. Mosinee will take on New London, Prentice will head to Spencer, and Riblake will take on Columbus Catholic. Be sure to stay tuned. Also, we'll have Hatchet Winter Sports coming up for you throughout the months of November through February here on WJJQ. Quick note as well for the future. Coming up next week, we are going to preview the Hatchet Girls basketball regular season opener. As John Long will stop by, we'll also have Butternut head coach Troy Sherwinski on to talk about the upcoming game to the season and what both teams need to do to get the win in their season opener. And then also, we're going to take a look at what the Packers-Bears game will have in store for us. We'll recap that game on Wednesday on next week's show. And of course, we will recap Badgers football and basketball and how well they did against Oregon and Arizona, respectively. Also, very quick note, I said this once, it is confirmed officially. In 1 month, about a month, we will be doing a live Sports Q show from Castaways Bar and Grill here in Tomahawk. That will be coming up on December 11th, 2 weeks to Christmas. 2 weeks to Christmas, we will be at Castaways Bar and Grill. We'll do a live Sports Q show. We'll have live interviews, live predictions. We'll have some audience interaction. And of course, who doesn't love great food? I mean, I certainly could go for a pizza.
Mamma mia!
Period, plain and simple. But that's something to look forward to also. So again, December 11th, we will have a Sports Q show at Castaways Bar and Grill on December 11th. So mark your calendar down. If you want to come out and see me, pack Castaways Bar and Grill, folks. I love to have a live show in front of a live studio audience. I haven't done that since I haven't done that at least in person since I was in high school and I was on the theater stage. But let's now get into our final countdown. So, our first broadcast of Hatchet Winter Sports will be next Thursday, a week from tomorrow night. It is Tomahawk Girls Basketball opening the season against the Butternut Midgets. On Thursday night, Fairwind Orthodontics radio pregame show will begin at 6:50. Tip is at 7:15. Be sure to stay tuned for updates, and it's going to be Matt Tyler joining me in the broadcast booth from the Hatchet House next Thursday night. That's on the 21st, so be sure to mark the calendar down. You can check out a full list of our Hatchet events online under the sports broadcast schedule at WJJQ.com. Our first Hatchet hockey broadcast will be on December 5th. That is in 4 weeks. And that will be Tomahawk against Waupaca, rematch of the second round playoff game last year. And then our first Hatchet Boys basketball broadcast will be the second half of the Tomahawk doubleheader that we have coming up. That'll be against Elko on December 10th. Be sure to stay tuned for all the details on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Thank you very much for tuning in to the Sports Q. Again, we got another jam-packed show for you next week. Have a sportacular week. I'll see you all next week.
Listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ. Be sure to join again next Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. for the latest sports news around the state and in our Northwoods community right here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ Tomahawk.